Read one verse, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, help us to seek your face and your will and your way. Give me freedom and ease that I may speak your word faithfully. And I pray you'd take the word that is spoken and apply it to every heart. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been talking this month on the open meeting, and it's not called open meeting in the Bible. Don't get your concordance and try to find open meeting. You won't find it. I'm going to give you four passages of Scripture. I'd like you to write them down, put them in your Bible, so that you can go back and look at them, study them out again, and find out what I'm talking about. Now, you do understand there are four words in the Bible that describe a person like myself, a preacher. He's an elder. He's a bishop. He's a shepherd. He's an overseer. That's the four words. They're all combined in one person. That's not four different people. That tells you the pastor. And they are plural in every New Testament church. Now, they're not necessarily plural in every Christian church that we have today. But in the churches, when you read in the New Testament, you're going to read the elders. To the elders, to the bishops. Elder, pastor, bishop, overseer. Did you see that in that verse that I read? You didn't. He's not talking to the elders. I want you to notice he's not talking to elders. He's talking to the brethren. Some people have left this church because they do not like to go to a night meeting or a Wednesday meeting when the pastor does not speak. They want someone with authority that's been ordained and licensed. And I did that 14 years. I'm a professional preacher. Very definitely. I got my college degrees. I got my license. I got my ordination. And I preached every service for the church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And every day on the radio for 14 years. Well, not every day on the radio for 14 years, but for a long time. He's not talking to elders. What did they do? Look what it says again. Listen to it. How is it then, brethren? Who is he talking to? He's talking to you. You're not a God-called preacher. You're not licensed. You're not ordained. Nobody's called you as a pastor, and nobody will want to listen to you for an hour and a half. Amen? It's the brethren. That's you. I'm telling you, you have a responsibility. Now, 30 years ago, I was asking the people, help me build a church. I'm asking you now, help me seek the Lord. Help me get revived. How are you going to do that? By you getting revived. You seek God. Don't sit around and criticize me or criticize somebody else or criticize some work. You got any criticism to do, stick it on yourself. That's where it deserves to be. And by the way, that's the only place it'll do any good. You know, I cannot even change Verlene. I can pray for her to be changed, but I can't change her. I can change me. You know the one God gave me to change? Me. You know the one God gave you to change? You. Your opinion about other people is worthless. Worthless. Change yourself. If you get revived, you'll help me. It's contagious. It's like the flu. Revival is like the flu. I mean, somebody gets it and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. I want to see one more good revival before I die. I've seen a few. And believe me, they're not average church services. God moves. God changes people. God changes the church. God picks people up and does lots of things with them. He's not talking to elder, pastor, bishop, or overseer. You don't see the word anywhere in here. What is the word? Who is Paul talking to? Brethren. Get that down in your head. That's you. What should you be doing? Well, here he is said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, it's not brethren privately. It's not brethren at your house. It's not brethren in your bed at night. It's not brethren in your devotions. When you come together, that's a meeting of the believers. That is the church, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's the church down to its simplest form, two or three. Well, we got a whole lot more than that this morning. And give us another hour, we'll have even more than that. More than two or three. Praise the Lord. How is it then, brethren, 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 when ye come together, when you come together, tonight at 7 o'clock, we're going to come together to worship the Lord. And then we're going to use that together time, and you need to have a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. And by the way, let everything be done with criticism. Did you read the last of that verse? Let everything be done according to your opinion. Did you know I'm quoting it wrong? Look at it. What's it supposed to be for? It is not entertainment, brethren. It is not entertainment. It is not to tickle or scratch your ears. It's not to scratch your ears. I want to hear something new. Give me somebody else. I want to hear something new. I don't like this. That's boring. That's your fault. When you come together, he said, let all things be done unto edifying. Now look back at verse 3, just so you'll know I'm not shooting you a line of breeze. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Let all things be done unto edifying. You're going to prophesy. That means you're going to get up and speak to the people for God. You. Well, Jim, I don't know if you've been called of God to speak to God. Yes, you have. You're one of the brethren, aren't you? You're one of the brethren. Danny, we don't need you to change the whole world, but you're one of the brethren, aren't you? That means you can speak to us and work. You can prophesy. That's not foretelling the future. It's speaking unto men. Now, there are prophets that foretell the future. Praise God. The great things. I don't understand most of them, I'll tell you the truth. It's speaking to men to edify them. Or what I am generally, an exhorter. I'm generally coming down on you hard, mean, pushing you, trying to, I'm like a coach. Come on, run another lap. Come on, run another lap. Get it done a little faster. Do it better. Do it over again. Exhorting. That's what these guys are doing. They're pushing you to do something spiritual, pushing you to do something righteous, pushing you to change something in your life. Quit your smoking. Quit your drinking. Quit your cussing. Quit your lusting. Serve the Lord. That's exhorting. Exhortation. And lost my place. First time in my life. Comfort. You know how many times comfort in this book? Over there, he's talking about the coming of the Lord coming again. He says, comfort one another with these words. Is that a comfort to you? It is to me. Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you ready? He's coming again. That's a comfort to me. But now, by the way, he wasn't talking to elder, pastor, bishop, or overseer, anyone. That's one man. That's four tasks that he has, that he does. And they're plural in every church. He's not talking to them. He's talking to you, brethren. Then just look down at verse 31. Oh, by the way, let me say something about a tongue. We have tongues. We have people come here from Poland and want to speak to us. Well, that's fine. They can do it if there's an interpreter. We don't have an interpreter. What good does it do somebody get them preach to us in Polish? We have brethren that come from Mexico and they want to say something to the church. And about half of us can understand Spanish, but there's another half that can't. So what happens? If we don't have an interpreter, they don't speak. Why? It's not edifying. It will not edify the church. It will not strengthen or build up or frame up the house of God. So he said, for ye, verse 31, for you may all prophesy. Whoa! Oh, that's not just the licensed, ordained, elected, chosen pastor, is it? You see a little word all? That means you. Now, if you're too lazy to look at the Word of God, you're too unspiritual to seek God's face, you can't get any comfort from anything, then okay, just sit down and listen. But if you get comfort from something, maybe it'll comfort me. Maybe I need comfort on a given day. Sometimes you do. You need comfort. You need something to comfort your soul. This book does it. In an open meeting, we don't want your stories. We don't want your histories. We don't want your opinions. We want what the Word of God has to say. And by the way, all of us express our opinions just about all the time. Better think about that. Are your opinions educated by the Word of God? They may not be. But at any rate, let me go on. For you may all prophesy one by one, not at the same time. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn. And all may be comforted. You see that little word all, A-L-L? I like little words. Very expressive little words. If's a great word, man. But's another great word. Man, they change everything. All. You may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now notice verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The Lord just came over me and I had to interrupt the whole church in it. No. Your spirit is subject to your control. Don't give me this garbage. I had to jump up and scream. I had to... No, come on. That's some of the wrong things about Pentecostalism. There's some good brothers in the Pentecostal church and they do some good things. And I'm not knocking them. I'm thankful they preach the gospel, but they do some things wrong. Your spirit is subject to your will. You know how I know that? The spirit moves on you all the time and you say no. Amen or oh me. That's good preaching, Brother Lindell. Amen. Do that again. Spirit of God moves on you, tells you to quit something, convicts you, and you say, no, no. Am I right or am I right? Couldn't be wrong. Now look at verse 40. There's that little word all again. That all things be done decently and in order. Decently. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let all things be done decently. Let all things be done in order. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we want to do. Now, I'm going to leave that passage. I've been there long enough. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Maybe that was just a fluke for the Corinthians, huh? Maybe that open meeting was just for the Corinthians. Maybe that kind of a meeting. And I'm not sure open meeting's a good name. I couldn't think of a good name. That was the best I could come up with when I was coming up with it. I'd seen it. I participated in it. But how in the world do you teach people to do it? You know, that's painful. I had some painful years. Really did. Now look at here. Well, we got to Ephesians. It is Paul again. He's talking to the Ephesian church, the believers in Ephesus. Look at verse 18. 5:18 of Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You're going to do too much of everything if you're drunk with wine. You're going to do too much sin. You're going to do too much pride. Even a guy like Mel Gibson can just haul out all sorts of insults and racial slurs. Why? Because he's drunk. He never said that if he was sober. The man wants people to love him, but not when he's drunk. And you're no better. You can look at him, badmouth him, and that's right, he deserves to be badmouthed, and probably for a lot of other reasons, but you're no better. When you get drunk, you lose your ability to control your stupid mouth. And most of our mouths are stupid because they come from a stupid brain. Is that exhorting? Is that explaining? I'm not sure. Defining? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. But now notice what he says. But be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Well, he's using drunkenness as an example. What does drunkenness do? It takes away your inhibitions. It lets you do what you wouldn't think about doing. He said, I want you filled with the Spirit of God to overflowing. I want you drunk on the Holy Spirit. I want you to the place that you talk and say what you believe or what you think. I want you to take away some of your inhibitions, your fear of man. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's always foolish. That's always hurtful. Yeah, the Bible says give wine to a man that's dying. Absolutely. If you can ease his pain anyway, get him drunk. What's it going to make any difference? It's not going to make any difference, but you, a mother or a father or a grandfather or a grandmother or a driver of a car, whether you're 17 or 16, you don't need to be drinking anything. You're going to kill somebody and hurt another family for 50 years. They ought to put you in jail. I think they ought to have a better way of punishment than jails. I think they either kill you or make you work and pay the government back or something like that. Keeping people in jail for years and years and years doesn't rehabilitate them, and it's very expensive. That's my opinion. You can do with it what you do with everybody else's opinion. Is that right? All right. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Are you full of the Spirit? Most of the time you're full of your own opinion. You're not full of the Spirit. Most of the time you're full of murmuring, complaining, and criticizing, griping, feeling sorry for yourself because something didn't go your way. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and ruins your whole day. Boy, you're a spiritual giant. Man, I can tell you a prayer soldier, prayer warrior. Just the way you act. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. How are you going to be filled with the Spirit if you don't seek Him? You're not. David said, God said to him, seek ye my face. He said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. God said, in spite of the man's sins, in spite of his failures, in spite of his stupidity, in spite of his lust, in spite of his vengeance, in spite of his murder, man after God's own heart. Where? Where? In his spirit he was seeking God. He's writing poetry to God. He's singing songs to God. He's praying to God before he makes a move with his 400 soldiers. He's asking for leadership. You need to seek the Holy Spirit. You know what I want you to do? I want you to help me. How can you help me? Every one of you start praying every day, start seeking God every day that He might be the number one driving force in your life. Help me. See, that'll help me preach. How do you think it would be preaching if this whole congregation was overflowing with the Holy Spirit? You don't think that would energize me and the other preachers? Woo! I'm telling you, they'd be up here jumping up and down. They'd just about so nervous they couldn't handle it. Instead of somebody who's reading, you know, somebody who's talking, somebody who's yawning, somebody who's gone to sleep and hear him snore. You're really seeking the Lord, aren't you? Help the preaching out. Help the church out. Why don't you get revived? Why don't you seek God till you find Him? Why don't you seek God till you're filled with Him? Quit justifying yourself. I'm better than most people. I'm pretty good. I don't need any change. No, you're not. If you're not full of the Spirit of God, you're not in with the will of God right here, this word. I emphasize again, He's not talking to elder, bishop, pastor, overseer, anywhere in it. He's talking to the church. This is the church when the church comes together. Now, this can be individual, and it is individual. What ought you to be doing? Well, it ought to be something going on in your heart. I imagine it's not going on, but it ought to be. Ought to be something going on in your heart. What is it? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That'd change your life. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself because somebody didn't give me what I wanted. I don't care if you're a kid and your mother didn't give you what you wanted. Or you're a husband, he says, oh, my wife didn't give me what I wanted. And her wife said, my husband doesn't think of me like he ought to. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Seek God. That's your answer. Your answer is not criticizing, fighting, changing, divorcing, running off, leaving the church. That's not your answer. Your answer's in God. And all of these things God puts in your life to make you seek Him. You know the number one thing God wants out of you after you're saved? He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to desire to do His will. You, in this room, live all over this town or out of this town. We could not get the preachers by to visit every one of you very often. And the people you want to see led to the Lord and the people you want to see have help in their church, in their marriage, they're not in the church. They're scattered all over. Do you know what their vision of Christianity is? It's not Lendell Kincaid. They don't even know me. It's you. It's you. You can start a little revival in your community. You can start a revival in your house. An old grandma down in León, Mexico, sought the Lord, and good night, all of her kids started getting saved, and grandkids, and then friends and relatives, and revival. It can come if you'll seek the Lord. I tell you what, if you seek the Lord, you'll have something better to say tonight, too. If you seek the Lord, you'll have something better to say Wednesday night. In fact, you'll have something to pray about Wednesday night. You won't have to criticize whoever's praying or whoever's speaking. You'll have something to say. You'll have something to be a blessing. It'll build somebody up instead of tear them down. Then look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I personally think that is the most difficult verse in the Bible. I take it for what it says. I don't change it. I have come to the place I can give thanks in everything most of the time. I can say, God knows. I don't know. I can't see any good in this. I don't see how in the world it could possibly be good. But I have faith that God will turn it to good. And so in the midst of it, I can still thank God I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven no matter what's happening to me today. But I have not come to the place yet, and I haven't met any that I know that lives this verse. Giving thanks always, not in all things, for all things. Your faith's not so high yet. You think you're one of our leaders? Boy, you're a spiritual giant. You're leading a bunch of people around. Praise the Lord. Do it. How about that right there? You still got a ways to go. You still have something you can learn. You haven't got it all down. Giving thanks always for all things. That's the toughest verse in the Bible for a Christian to live. But I notice what we're saying. Yourselves. Look at verse 21. We'll find yourselves again. Submitting yourselves to the pastor, to the pastors, to your boss. That's not what he's saying. Are you reading what I got you there? Are you reading that? Submitting yourselves one to another. You mean I got to submit to Brian? Yeah, I do. Sometimes I might have to submit to your 12-year-old boy. I remember a story in the Old Testament about a guy named Samuel, that an old high priest who was a good man. He wasn't a very good father, but he was a good man. And he had to submit to a little boy just weaned from his mother. And I imagine she waited a long time to wean him. I imagine he was at the breast for 7 years. I don't know. Might have been less. But I'm thinking about she loves this boy so much. She said she'd give him back to God when she weaned him. And when she weaned him, he was walking and talking. He'd get a message from God. You don't have a right to choose God's messenger to give you his ministry. That's not your right. I know you're an American and you think everything should go your way. We are the most spoiled Christians that ever walked the face of the earth. We're the most spoiled people that have ever lived upon the face of the earth. And I'm talking about common working men. I'm not just talking about the entrepreneurs and the millionaires and the Bill Gates and Buffett and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you, me. We drive automobiles. We have air conditioning. We got television. We got nice clothes. We got wash and wear clothes. You don't even have to iron them, ladies. You know what happened when they came out? My wife threw away everything that had to go to the cleaners. And she threw away everything that was all cotton that you had to iron. She does not believe in ironing. You live in a great time. Submitting yourselves one to another. I don't like you. Don't speak to me. Submitting yourselves one to another. It doesn't matter whether I like you or not. It doesn't matter if I think you're smart or not. I have seen a message come from a guy I knew was dumb as dirt. But what came out of his mouth at one time in his life dealt with me. No, you don't have a right to choose who God speaks to you through. And by the way, if you've been born in the church, you really don't have a right to run around and pick you out another one. You were born into a family. You ought to be a part of that family. Brother, you know what we're looking for? We're looking for a team effort. Man, I love football. I liked all sports. I played a lot of sports. But all I had to do, I was right guard all years I played. All I had to do was let down my one job out of the 11, and we weren't going anywhere. All I had to do was just lay down and say, eat the quarterback. We're not going anywhere. We need a team effort. The church needs a team effort. Why don't you join the team? Some of you are so stinking proud, you think you're above the team. You're the hot dog. Now, in my day, if I made a tackle, if I'd have went out and jumped up and down and jumped up and down, whatever, coach would kick me off the team. These people today, everybody's trying to show out. I guess it's money. You're part of a team. You're not just here as a visitor. You're not just here as a spectator. You're part of a team if you're in this church. And you know what? This church needs every single team member playing on the team. Amen. Praying for the team. Encouraging the team. Even if you're sitting on the bench, you ought to be praying for the team, whoever's out in the middle of the fire. Get on the team. Your rights mean almost nothing, and your opinion does mean nothing. It's what God wants done. It's not what I want done. It's what God wants done. He said, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, let's go back to Paul one more time. Let's go to the church of the Thessalonians. How about that? Chapter 5, verse 21. I want you to hunt for those words, elder, pastor, bishop, overseer. You won't find them. I'm giving you these four passages of scripture so you'll know what was going on in these New Testament churches, and it was not just a pastor speaking. It was the body feeding itself. It was the body washing one another's feet. Now, I know we got some people that have a church and they do foot washing. Some of them, mostly it's just once a year. And I guarantee you those people clean their toenails and scrub their feet before they go to service on that day. Because everybody's going to be looking at their feet. Now, I'm not against that. That'd be a humbling thing. That's all right. But that's not what Jesus was saying. Read the passage that Jesus was talking. And he tells Peter, now he's washing Peter's feet. He's got a pan down there, or a bowl. He's got a towel or two. And he is on his knees in front of Peter, sitting down, and he's washing Peter's feet. And he tells Peter something that you ought to really listen to, because this is the key to the whole thing. You don't know what I'm doing now. You don't know what I'm doing now. Well, Peter knew what he was doing. That's what servants did all the time. They washed the master's feet. What's he talking about? What I'm talking about right now. When we come together, we wash one another's feet with the Word of God. And though you may not know the reason for the passage or the movement or the comfort or the blessing that you got from the Word of God, God knows. And there may be somebody else in here who's got dirty feet. Jesus said you don't need to be washed all the way, just your feet. We walk in this world, we hear the filthy cussing, we see the advertisement and the entertainment, we look at people with bad attitudes and all sorts of stuff like that. We need to be washed. Jesus said, wash one another's feet. What I've done to you, you do to them. He wasn't talking about a foot washing service as he did. You don't know what I'm doing now. We get washed by the Word of God. And we come to a meeting where the whole body works together and you let the Holy Spirit have His way instead of your way. I don't think you know how to build a good sermon. Most of you don't. But you can wash my feet. You can wash my feet. I can wash your feet. Now she's not mad at me. She has a bad back. I've had them. I hope. I've had them walk out on me when they were mad at me. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11. He's not talking to the bishop, pastors, elders are overseers. I want to emphasize that again. That's not who he's talking to. Wherefore, there's your conclusion. comfort yourselves together. Does that make any sense to you? Does to me. Comfort yourselves together. Edify one another. Even as also ye do. This was their practice. This is what they did. Verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now, up to that work's sake, he's talking about an elder, a pastor, a bishop, or an overseer. They labor among you. They watch for your souls. They are over you. You better be real careful criticizing God's man. You just might be criticizing the will of God. Be real careful when you are denying something that the elders have agreed that ought to be done. Because it's what they do. They're over you. He said, be at peace among yourselves. That'd help. Now we exhort you, brethren. Again, he's talking to the brothers. He's talking to you, the congregation. We exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Shouldn't be the pastor all the time has to walk up to somebody and say, don't dress like that. Good night. Cover your breast up. Cover your butt up. Cover your tramp tattoos on the back of you up. Don't put them on your face either. Good night. I don't know what this is thing with tattoos now. I've got one. It's a small one. I got it when I was lost and 14 years old. And I was stupid. I never encouraged any of my kids to get one. I'm not proud of it. It's not a naked lady. All it is my initials. But I'm not proud of it. It was stupid of me to do it. And if you go letting some idiot paint your face for you or paint your body for you with a permanent ink, you're not as bright as I think you ought to be. Amen or oh me. That's wonderful preaching, Brother Lindell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, where are we having the time? He's not talking to elders, pastors, bishops, overseers. He's talking about them. Tells you how to treat them. Tells you how to respond to them. Now he's going to go back to the brethren. Let's go back to the brethren here. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You need to do that. Comfort the feeble-minded. I need comfort. All the feeble-minded in here need comfort. I'm not sure he means exactly what we think that word means today. But there's some of us that's smarter than others. Now don't get too proud because you're smart, because you don't have anything God didn't give you. If you're smart and talented in a given area, you ought to thank God. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Brethren, brethren, brethren. Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient. Oh, did you hear this? Be patient toward all men. Don't just be patient to the ones you like or the ones that are in your family. I'm guilty of this same stuff as you. I know the difficulties of an open meeting better than you do. I've been putting up with it for 37 years. And boy, I wish I knew an easy way to make it work. But it is work. It is work. But it's God's way. It's in God's Word. And I've given you three passages, and I just have a little bit of time to get to the fourth, but let me go on down here. It says all these things, but look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That's not the preachers rejoice evermore. That's the people rejoice evermore. That's you. That's the brethren. That's the church. That's the gathering together. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And you can thank God for your sins being forgiven, no matter if they're going to kill you tomorrow. No matter if you're dying of cancer. No matter if your body has been beat up and bruised and you've been hurt wrongfully. You can still thank God in the midst of that for your forgiveness of sins and salvation. And you ought to. Quench not the Spirit. That's advice for the body. If the Spirit comes in a form you don't like, be real careful that you're not liking the form causes you to quench the Spirit of God. You can quench the Spirit of God. You can quench Him in your own heart. You can quench Him in the church. You can deny Him. You can refuse Him. You can offend Him. Quench not the Spirit. Verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Do you reckon Paul met a group like us? Do you reckon that the Thessalonican church had some people in there just about like us? I think so. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold that fast which is good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. Now I go to Peter. Let's see if Peter's in agreement with Paul. 1 Peter, chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity will cover a multitude of sins. If I really love you, I'll overlook some things just because I love you. Use hospitality one to another, one to another. I'm going to teach on one to another one of these days too. It's all through the Bible. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Rather than lend him $10, just give him $20. Rather than give him a dollar for a Coke or a hamburger or something, take him out to eat. Use hospitality. Be hospitable. Now, look at verse 10. I want you to see if you can find elders, pastors, bishops, or overseers. We're not talking about the preachers. We're talking about the congregation. We're talking about the brethren. We're talking about the people in the church. Look what it says. If any man speak, no, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Did you know the grace of God is many, many sided? It's beyond your comprehension. How many ways God can bring grace to you? Ah, it's something. You think the universe is vast? Everything about God is just that vast. That's you, brethren. Do you have a gift? Some of you think you have a gift. Use it. Use it. You're not going to come up as the big star, the one that makes 5 touchdowns in a quarter. They're not going to write your name in lights, but you can be used of God to bless somebody. You can be used of God to bless the church. You can be used of God to have revival, at least in your place. At least in your heart. And all you got to do is get a revival over here and a little right over here and a little right over here and a little right over here, and it'll spread to anybody as dull as I am. If any man speak, then speak as the oracles of God. When you're speaking, you're the voice of God. Speak like you got the message from Him. Speak like it's His word. Speak like it's valuable. Speak like you're worth listening to. You are. If you have got a spiritual blessing from the word of God this week, and even if you stammer and stumble and stutter, speak like the oracles of God. God blessed me this week. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. We don't all have the same ability in anything. Some of you are good at one thing and not good at others. That's the way the world works. I have 5 kids. They were born to the same 2 parents. Basically raised under the same fundamentals. Different financial situations for a bunch of them, but they are as different as night and day. No 2 of them are alike. The grace of God's that way. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability. He's not talking about a preacher. He's not talking about a pastor. He's not talking about a bishop. He's not talking about an overseer. He's not talking about one that's ruling over you. He's talking about you, you the believer. And if you've been ignoring all these verses that I've been bringing to you this morning, you've been failing. You're not doing what you ought to be doing. Now you can blame me for failing, you can blame some of the other pastors for failing, you can blame your neighbor for failing, you can blame the people who are sitting next to you, you can just get all uptight about that, not going to help your problem. You are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You can't change me. Oh, a lot of people have tried. You can't change me. But you can change you. I can change me. The Lord can change me. You got an ability? Exercise it. You got a gift? Use it. You have a ministry? Put it into the church. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What are we doing it for? Your glory? Oh, bless your heart. I've heard a lot of preachers in my time. Very few of them deserve glory. And I doubt you will either. We want to glorify God. We want to glorify God. You don't want to know when you're going to be the happiest you've ever been in your life? When you're glorifying God. And God recognizes it and fills you with His Spirit. I don't think you're going to talk in tongues. I don't think you're going to run around and jump and holler and leap over benches. But I think you'll have happiness like you've never seen. And your mouth will be open to His praise and His glory. And you will have a word from God to bless the people. Why aren't you there? Well, don't get discouraged because you're not there. Seek Him. Set a goal for yourself, in your own way. You're going to read God's Word. You're going to pray to God. You're going to seek His face. I don't want to be just an average Christian, Lord. I don't want to live in an average Christian church. I want the blessing of God upon my life. I want it on my pastors. I want it on my children. I want it on my wife and my husband. I want it on all the congregation. I want it to hit this town like a storm. God bless you.